Right, everybody can be seated. You know, life is sort of a strange situation. We have choices to make, and we can choose all kinds. We have many choices, multiple choices, actually. That's the kind of test that I liked best. You know, at least you had a chance of getting right by guessing. But life is sort of like that. And so we have a challenge. Do we do things God's way or do we do things our way? And I'd like to for us to consider that tonight. And we'll start with Matthew 6, verse 33. Matthew 6, verse 33. It's a verse that's very familiar to you, if you're in the Bible at all. And Matthew 6, 33 tells us, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. For the individual seeking first the kingdom of God, it involves finding Jesus Christ and placing our faith in him, in what he accomplished on the cross of Calvary. But it doesn't end there. Many people think it does, and for many Christians it does. They never go beyond that point. We have to also believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. Once we've done those two things, we're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and our life is going to change. We will be what the Bible calls a new creature, new creation. As Paul wrote in his second letter to the Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Whether we will admit it or not, we are all sinners. Some of us just struggle with sin more than others. God has given us his word so that we might have a better knowledge of what God expects of us. Throughout his word, he instructs us about how we are to live for God, for his glory. There are certain actions that we each should emphasize in our conduct that will bring greater glory to our Heavenly Father. If we violate these actions, we will be sinning against God, which we do not want to do. So from time to time, we need to remind ourselves about some of those things that we are supposed to do. I'm deeply saddened by those who claim to be Christians who refuse to do the things that God tells us to do in his word. Refusal to obey God is rebellion on the part of those who know to do the right thing. It's also a sin against God, and the thing that saddens me is that the individual that is involved in such things definitely has a heart problem and is not in fellowship with God. I don't know what life would be like without a fellowship with God. Let me share one verse of Scripture with you as an example. Matthew 18:15, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother." Now, I've had brothers and sisters in the Lord come to me and tell me when they've been offended. Most of the time, it's a matter of either not understanding what has been said, and it gives us a chance to clarify what was intended to be communicated. But occasionally, I do offend someone, and I have a chance to apologize and to restore our fellowship by seeking forgiveness. I'm by no means perfect, and so I do make unintentional mistakes. But it's wrong on a person's part not to come to me and give me a chance to make something right. It also is a violation of God's word, and that makes it sin. In connection with this verse in Matthew 18, there are some other verses given by our Lord earlier in the same gospel. Matthew 6:12 tells us, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." If you know Jesus as your personal Savior, you've been forgiven of your sins, and you have no basis or excuse to not forgive others for their offenses against you. One of the things we have to learn is actually forgiveness, because without it, we will be miserable. Life will not be complete in the Father. So I am by no means perfect, and we all make mistakes. Many times they're unintentional, but nonetheless we make them. And so we need to make sure that we seek forgiveness when we know that there are things that, like that. In connection with this verse, we need to learn to forgive. And without forgiveness, there's nothing but bitterness of heart. And that's very sad. Jesus spoke these words about forgiving our debtors, forgiving us our debts, as we are forgiven by our debtors. If you know Christ, you will forgive their debts. Jesus was the one who spoke these words to all of his followers. He explained why this was necessary in Matthew 6:14 and 15. "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But," and this is the verse that sort of scares me a little bit, "but if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses." And so I have to, because I fear God, and I know you do, I have to be sure that I am forgiving people when they do trespass, what I feel is trespass against me. The thing that causes me deep sorrow for someone who does not forgive is the fact that they cut off their communication from God. I'm saddened by the fact that they don't even realize it. I have quoted many times Psalm 66:18. "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." What a dramatic statement that is. If I will not forgive, then God stops hearing me from then on till I get to that forgiveness point. Because of the sin of not forgiving, and it is a sin according to Jesus, their prayers are not being heard. How sad that they are wasting their time praying when God does not hear them. I think it might be necessary to revisit this verse about offenses and a biblical way of handling it. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew 18:15, "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone." Don't go talk to somebody else. I mentioned that this morning because I used that same verse this morning. Lord had it on my heart. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. Why do you think that Jesus would specifically tell his followers that this was the only way to deal with offenses? Let me explain. Offenses become a root of bitterness in a person's heart. If a person is holding an offense against someone, then God has clearly said through Jesus Christ that he cannot hear that person's prayers, nor can he forgive them for the sins that they commit. We all commit sins unintentionally, even if we don't want to. It's as simple as that. We have a sin nature, and we're going to commit sins from time to time. if we're not willing to forgive, then those sins begin to accumulate. The sin in that person's life is building up and accumulating in their soul. It will manifest itself as a bitterness eventually. Jesus commanded us to love one another. John told us the same thing. A person may say that they love everybody, but if they're holding an offense against someone, they're lying, not just to God, but to themselves also. Let's look at what God says about love in His Word. Genuine love has several attributes, and we see them in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 about love, the love chapter. Beginning at verse 4 of chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, we read, "Charity, or love, suffereth long and is kind. Charity, or love, envieth not. Charity, or love, vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things," and here's the hard part, "endureth all things." There are several things that would prevent someone who loves from responding to an offense. The enemy of us all is pride. Pride would cause us to fail, to bear all things. Pride would prevent us from enduring all things. Pride would cause us to be provoked. Pride would not let us suffer at all. And finally, pride would cause a person to think evil of someone who had no intention to do evil. A person who is full of pride would not forgive nor forget an offense. And I've had people come tell me, I forgave such and such an offense, and then they have to go on and explain to me what the offense was. And they have all the details still there in their mind, and it hasn't been forgiven. When we forgive, we really do forget. So that's part of pride in retaining offenses. Pride in the life of the Christian would cause that person to sin even more than a person who was attempting to manifest a new creation. So let's make a practical application of this concept. A while ago, someone came to me and suggested that we have a suggestion box. And I thought that was a pretty good suggestion. Many others people have come to them during the ministry and suggested things to improve the ministry and make it more effective for the Lord. Someone might even think of something that would glorify God more than He's being glorified at the time. So we have a blessing box as a result of someone coming to me and making the suggestion. I talked this over with the deacons and we agreed to install a suggestion box. Immediately, there was a problem with where we installed it because one of the cameras could see the suggestion box. I didn't see why that would be a problem, but we moved the box to the location that had been suggested. People, a suggestion box is for people to make suggestions of how we can expand and improve our ministry. It's not for making criticisms or accusations against individuals anonymously. One of the deacons had mentioned this aspect of the box, and I dismissed it because we have a church where we love each other and a church that practices unity. It appears that I was wrong about this. We have someone who has bitterness in their heart, and we need to pray that God will touch hearts and that He will deal with that bitterness. I've been made aware of that bitterness, and I have no idea who it might be, but I expect that since I have made it public, that person will probably not continue in our fellowship. If there's something that needs God's working in it, please come and tell me so that we can take the necessary steps to fix the problem. Communication is necessary in order to love and to exist and to grow. Let me give you an example. Gabriel and I moved into an apartment, Waverly Place, over in Archdale. The lady that we talked with as we moved in was there for 3 weeks, and I was able to go share with her many of the problems that we had in our apartment. We didn't have any air conditioning. We didn't have a washer and dryer, which we were supposed to have working. We had bugs. We had a bathroom fan that was so loud if I turned it on at night it woke Gabriel up. And I couldn't even hear my electric razor running while I was shaving. I couldn't hear it running. There was just a lot of things. We had a counter collapsing that we had the microwave sitting on, and it would slide off. If you pulled the door open, it would slide off the shelf if you weren't careful. There was just a lot of things. I talked with her for 3 weeks. And then I went back to the office one day to see why none of these things were fixed, and she wasn't there anymore. They went through 4 managers in 3 months. They'd be there for 2 weeks, and then they were gone. 2 weeks, and then they were gone. 2 weeks, and then they were gone. I could not communicate. I still can't communicate with these people. I have not been able to talk to a corporate manager at all. They gave me an email. I emailed the corporate manager, and no response. I emailed the corporate manager again. No response. It just got worse and worse and worse. Because we couldn't communicate. Communication, we have communication amongst ourselves. Let's use it to avoid any problem, to straighten out problems so they can be fixed and there's not a problem. With regard to communication, it's a command in the New Testament. 4 times with a little different emphasis each time. Let's look at communication as it's recorded in the New Testament. We'll start with the letter to the Hebrews. Paul was the writer of that letter. In Hebrews 13:16, it tells us, Hebrews 13:16, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. We are told, communicate. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Each service that we have is preceded with prayer on the part of some of us, praying for that service, and you may be one of them who does. And I know that those prayers are being answered by God. I ask God what He would have me to share with you from His Word each week. We are told in Hebrews that God is well pleased with communication, especially if it's about His Word. So, what is the sacrifice mentioned here? It is the sacrifice of our pride, so that we will communicate with even those we disagree with. The next verse that we will consider is Titus 6:18. First Timothy 6:18. And in 1 Timothy 6:18 it says, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. There must be willingness to work out disagreements, and it requires communication. Without communication, we are all islands on the sea of humanity, and we have no bridges to unify us. Communication is a bridge between people, and it helps to solidify everything. Paul stressed the need for unity in the church, and that comes through communication. 2 more verses, and we'll conclude our message on God's way, or our way. Philippians 4:14. Notwithstanding, ye have done well done, that ye did communicate with my affliction. Part of our communication is the time that we spend in prayer for our brothers and sisters' needs. Remember that God definitely tells us that if we regard iniquity in our heart, God does not hear us. Is God going to hear our prayer if we are not communicating and if we are not doing what His Word tells us to do? And the last verse that we'll look at today is Galatians 6:6. Galatians 6:6 says, "Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. If you know the word and what it means, then tell those who teach you so they can tell others also." Remember that we are given the Holy Spirit so He can teach us, to help us to understand what God wants us to know. Keep in mind that the suggestion box is not for criticisms and false accusations, but for constructive recommendations concerning our ministry. Criticisms and accusations should be addressed to the deacons or on a person-to-person basis. Soon as an incident occurs, if criticism is how the suggestion box is going to be used, then we need to get rid of it because it's being used by the devil to fracture our unity. It is our hope that it will be used of this church as a tool of God. Our people have spent 11 years that I know about building up our outreach for the Lord, and we will not let bad attitudes destroy what we have worked so hard for. There are scriptural methods contained in God's Word to deal with criticisms and complaints. When I came to this ministry, I said that we would use the Bible as a means to deal with everything involving the ministry. And that is what I have attempted to do. I believe that I can speak for the deacons because that was what their intention was also at the time that they talked to me about coming here. We are a church that believes the Bible. And if you don't believe it, all of it, then you're in the wrong church. Let's look at God's word one more time. Matthew 18:15. "Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother." Our job as believers is to build up the church, not to tear it down. We are here to support each other, not to falsely accuse one another and make false statements about one another. I try to share the Word of God and to encourage each of you to live by God's commands. If you have something that causes you to think that I have not been faithful to the Word, come to me and we can sit down and prayerfully examine what was said and make whatever adjustments need to be made. I'm just like a human, like all of you. I don't bite. I've had all of my shots. So let's get together if there are problems, and let's resolve those problems for the glory of God. Communication is a wonderful, wonderful thing, and I am hoping that we can continue to communicate. I had communication with someone this afternoon who was a part of this church ministry. They texted me with a question. I responded, and then we spent the afternoon texting each other back and forth. I don't like texts. I'd rather talk to someone, get things resolved, and get things, you know, finally resolved. But anyway, if I have offended any of you, let me tell you right now, I am deeply sorry. I really am. I don't know it. I don't know what I've done. But if I have offended anyone, I am deeply sorry, and I am praying over this, asking God to show me where I have erred. And if you're the one that I have offended, please come and tell me. It's not going to be the end of the world. I'll even get you a cup of coffee if you want to talk. Any questions or comments? All right. Well, I'm using the KISS principle. Keep it simple, stupid. Okay. And so, is there anything that we need to discuss as a church? Okay. I am looking forward to the fair, to the time of the fair. And have we gotten that contract yet? Okay. Well, she said she would send it out last week, but anyway, we'll